I greet you today in the name of Jesus, who is the Lord and Savior of my life. For all that I am and all that I ever seek to be, all that he's ever placed in me, all that I shall go, and my destiny is wrapped in him. And it's just good to know the Lord. I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord. And somebody ought to say amen. Indeed, it is a joy to be here sharing with you, and I'm humbled by this experience because there's no place I'd rather be. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. I traveled 6 hours just to be with you because I wanted to be here, because I knew that if I could stand here on the chapel of Union University, if I could come and look in the smiling faces of future generations that shall lead us and guide us and develop us, if I can be here in these academic halls and feel the spirit of this place, I'll be blessed and my life will always be changed. Because I've been here today. There's no place I'd rather be. There's nothing else I'd rather be doing. There's no other folks I'd rather be with than those gathered here under the name of Jesus in the Savage Chapel in Union University. Indeed, I do give honor to your president in his absence, for indeed he is a tremendous personality in faith and in education. We had the honor on last year in our banquet to honor him as one of our premier educators of this time, and we just thank God for him and the leadership that he's giving here, not only in the city of Jackson and Union University, but to God's kingdom as he seeks to make better the world as he develops the lives of people. What a joy it is, and I thank God for bringing persons in my life. I thank God for Todd Brady, because indeed, even in our sharing now, his spirit is a wonderful spirit. I've been blessed by his presence. And then it was good to come by to see one I'd met before in Professor Guthrie. Amen. He blessed my heart over a year ago, and I'm just happy here and awed to be in his presence, for he's a tremendous, powerful theologian, and he is one who knows the word of God, and my knees are shaking. My heart is pounding fast. I wonder how he'll grade me today as I seek to share in the word of God. And then to all of the faculty, staff, and to you, the student body, what a wonderful time to be alive. But I dare not hold us there, because we came here today to deal with serious business. We came here today because this is a time that is to be set aside for us to take our minds off of the things of this world and place our focus on the divine light of God and hear what God has to say for our lives. Because I can share with you today to answer that awesome question that has been ringing through the ages: is there a recent word from the Lord? Well, on my way here, God shared with me a word, and I came by to share with you what God has placed on my heart. For recently, I've been dealing with the book of Exodus and watching how God has been moving with his people, and I have been fascinated with the way that God acts in lives. And as I was coming here today, God began to work on my mind and move in my heart and led me to a particular piece of scripture that seems to be befitting for now. For all of us will see as we go through this, there are times when we need to know that God is leading us. And so today, I would, for just a few moments, ask you, if you would, to just concentrate with me on a text that's found in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus in the 13th chapter and the 17th through the 22nd verse. And I'm reading today from the Contemporary English Version. And there you'll find recorded these words from the Lord. The book of Exodus, 13th chapter, verses 17 through 22. And there we'll hear the word of the Lord. Exodus chapter 13 and verses 17 through 22. And the Bible says, and after the king had finally let the people go, the Lord did not lead them through Philistine territory, though it was the shortest way. God said, if they are attacked, they may decide to return to Egypt. So he led them around the desert and toward the Red Sea. The Israelites left Egypt prepared for battle. So Moses had them take along the bones of Joseph, whose dying words had been, God will come to your rescue, and when he does, be sure to take along my bones. And the people of Israel left Succoth and encamped at Etham at the border of Egypt near the desert. During the day, the Lord went ahead of the people in a thick cloud, and during the night, he went ahead of them in a flaming fire. That is the way the Lord could lead them at all times, whether day a night. The Bible says, and after the king had finally let them go, he did not lead them through the Philistine territory, though it was the shortest way. I just want to share with you for a moment on the subject. Am I going the right way? For indeed, as we look at our text, we pick up the Israelites that they are at the point of departure on their deliverance, on their way to their destiny. They were a people that were on a rendezvous with God. They were on a journey to what God had proposed them to be. They were a people that were in the process of being made and shapen by God. But when God took them from Egypt, headed toward the promise, the thing he laid up for them, the place that he'd already preserved for them, the place that he had there all time, the promise he had made to Abraham when he was leading them out. God said, I've got to get you ready. I'm taking you somewhere. I don't know about you, but I came today to talk to some folks that's going somewhere. Because I know you wouldn't be hanging around Union University if you wasn't going somewhere. So God was taking them and shaping them and forming them and getting them ready to prepare them for the place and the promise he had prepared for them. Let me say that again. He was taking them and shaping them and preparing them for the promise he had prepared for them. Because sometimes we got to get ready for what God has ready for us. Because if we're not ready, we can't get what he has ready. So he was preparing them for what he had prepared. And so they pick up on a journey. And the Bible says, and when the king finally let them go. Let's park there for a moment and hear what the word has to say. Because it's interesting to me that after 400 years of suffering, the Bible says, and finally. 400 years of being in bondage, the Bible says, and finally. After 400 years of making brick and brick without straw, the Bible says, finally. Because after you've gone through all you can go through, let me tell you, don't get discouraged, because there will be a finally in your life. Just keep on working, and finally. They've been going. They've been stuck in Egypt under somebody else's control, but finally. They had been under rough circumstances, but finally. Isn't it strange that sometimes we give up hope? But I came to tell you today, this is just a short footnote. I'm going to throw this in for free. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Don't give up. Wait on your finally. Spirit's talking to me because I'm talking to some folks that have been dealing with some problems and you feel like giving up. But I came to tell you, keep your hand in there because finally is coming. I'm talking to some people who have been dealing with classes and coming against obstacles and become frustrated. But I tell you, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. Don't throw up your hands in despair, because the God I serve will come through. David said that he once was young, but now he's old. And I've never seen the righteous forsaken or a seed begging. If you don't get anything else out of this today, know that you can go back to class, keep on working, because there's going to be a finally. You can keep on struggling through the problems of life and dealing with your preparation, because the good news is finally. It's coming, finally, 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 after all of those years, finally, after all of those struggles, finally, after all of those tears, finally, after all of those prayers, finally, he let them go. And the thing that got me was, and the Bible says, and when the king finally let them go, God did not lead them the shortest way. It bothered me. That mess with me. You see, when I'm ready to get direction, when I was preparing to leave Jackson and go to Indianapolis, I got on MapQuest, and from there I went to Expedia, and I looked up the destination and got driving destination, and I wanted to get the quickest, fastest, easiest way. Because in life, when someone wants directions, we want to give them the quickest, fastest, easiest way. I know times I've gotten lost and I've stopped on the side of the road and asked somebody how to get there, and I can see them and say, well, you go down here. They said, no, don't go that way. They go this. I'm really trying to get you there the fastest way. And if the truth be told, all of us want to get there the fastest, easiest and quickest way. But isn't it strange about God? When God was getting them to what he had promised them, and he was taking them to what he had prepared them, God did not take them the easiest way. For the Bible says he took them the long way. Let me tell you, sometimes you got to go the long way around. Life is not filled with easy. Life is not filled with shortcuts. Sometimes you got to grin and bear it. He took them the long way around. And watch this. He said, he took them through the wilderness. He took them through the desert. He took them through the barren place. You know, now I didn't really understand this until one time I had the opportunity to go to the Holy Land and see what it was all about. And see, my understanding of the wilderness was like up in Washington and Tacoma and all those. It was a lot of woods. But when I got there, it was interesting because when they talk about that wilderness, all it was were rocks and short vegetation and sand and dirt. Well, not only did God take them the long way round, but he took them through barren times. He took them through some dry moments. He took them through some rough times. He took them through some moments when it didn't seem very productive. Let me tell you something. On your life journey, you're going to have to deal with some dry moments. You're going to have to deal with some barren times. You're going to have to deal with some unproductive circumstances. But the deal is, keep on going because God is still in the plan. He took them through dry points. He took them through barren territory. He took them through rocky terrain. Oh, Lord. If you ever go to Holy Land, you see that all around is rocks, is rough places, is boulders and stones. And we have to realize that on our journey to get to where God has prepared us, not only must we go through some dry moments, but we've got to deal with some rocky situations. We've got to deal with some obstacles. We've got to deal with some barriers and some boulders, because when God wants to get you to where he wants to get you, it doesn't matter what you go through, because he knows he's going to get you there. In my faith persuasion, from my tradition in the African-American church, there was a singer by the name of Mahalia Jackson, and she used to sing the song, Going Up the Rough Side of the Mountain. And it's interesting because a part of the faith witness of so many of African-American people of the older generation is that I'm just going up the rough side of the mountain. It deals with on my faith journey. I'm just dealing with trials and tribulations. I'm just going up the rough side of the mountain. But you know something I discovered? It's not so bad going up the rough side of the mountain. Because the reality is you can't climb slick mountains. You gotta have some rough spots. I've gotta have some rough spots I can plant my feet on. I've got to have some edges and some ledges I can get my hands on to pull myself up. Oh, if I were climbing up a slick mountain, every time I step up, can I climb slick mountains? And we need to understand that for God to make you what he wants you to be, for God to begin to allow you to meet your divine potential, you got to go through some rough stuff. He took them through barren times and rough times. And you know, watch this. To an apparent dead end. The Red Sea was a dead end. Have you ever been stuck in something that looked like a dead end? Have you ever been traveling a path that seemed to go nowhere? I didn't understand God. Why would God take them this way? Why would God lead them the long way around? And why would God take them through barren times and rough conditions? And when it was all over, to an apparent dead end. But there's a clue, there's a clue, there's a clue. God said, I've got to take you this way because I know you. But now you didn't catch that. Sometimes it's dangerous for God to know you. I want to bless you with what you want, but I know you. I want to put you in that thing that you desire, but I know you. He said, I made you, I structured you, I understand you. And the thing is, I know you think that you can handle it if you got that, but I know you. I know you think you won't change if you get the position, but I know you. I know you say you're going to still be like you were if I blessed you, but I know. Ooh, what are you missing out on? Because God knows you. What is it you've been praying for that's been delayed? Because God knows you. What dream has been put on hold? Because God knows you. You've been working hard and see anybody else get there, but you can't get there, and you wonder why. Why can they make it and I can't? Because God knows you. He said, if I send you that way, I know you. I've got to send you a special way. I've got to send you on a path that I've created because I've already formulated the path because I know you. I've got some stuff you got to go through because I know you. I've got some things you have to endure to make you what I want you to be because I know you. I've got some experiences that you got to endure because I know you. I've got a tailor-made path to your destiny. I can't wear Todd's clothes because somehow they weren't made for me. God says, the path I have for you has been tailor-made. When you were in your mother's womb, I was forming your direction. When before you took your first breath, I already put your destiny and your purpose in your heart and your spirit. I'd already set a course in line for you to merge and rendezvous with the place of purpose in your life, and I've got to take you there this way because I designed it for you because I know you. God wants us to understand that the reason sometimes that we have to go through what we go through to get to where he wants us to go is because he knows us. He knows he's prepared it, but if I want to make you strong enough, I've got to take you through some stuff. When I was your age, I used to play football and wrestle and throw shot put. And one of the things we had to do, we had to understand about weight training. In fact, if I'd follow some of the advice of some folks then, when I was trying to pump up and pump up and pump up, they told me if you start, you'll never stop because what used to be up here but I did used to work out. And I was into weight training. And one of the things you got to understand about weight training is there's two types of weight training. There is one where you weight train for definition. That way you put a little weight on the bar and you do a lot of repetitions. Now, if you do that kind of weight training, it'll define your physique. It will begin to define your muscles, but it won't give you strength. If you want to gain strength, you got to put more weight on the bar. You got to put something that your muscles have to struggle against. You got to put something that you got to push hard against. You got to have some resistance against what you're working on. You got to have some counter forces that make you push harder because the harder you push, the stronger you become. And you need to realize that the reason why God has put some stuff in your life is because he's trying to make you stronger. Your gift ain't coming out on easy. Your blessing's not coming easy. Yes. Every member of the family of God is gifted. When you come in, you're gifted. Your gift comes free, but the blessing isn't easy. You got to go through some stuff. You got to deal with some situations. You got to learn some staying power. And probably the reason why some of us have become frustrated in the time of our journey is because we don't realize that before we can get to what God has to give, he's got to get us ready. We've got to get stronger and firmer in our faith. We've got to grow in our spirits. We've got to become greater in him. But God says, I know you and I'm taking you somewhere. But then he finally says, I'm taking you this way because I'm trying to teach you how to follow. Oh, yes. I'm in an academic environment. I'm around educators, and you all understand that education has already begun to share that learning is a conditioned behavior. That's why children in an early primary age, when you're teaching them basic skills, you have to have them to repeat them over and over and over and over and over again because it's conditioned behavior. God says, the way I'm taking you, I'm trying to condition you because I'm trying to teach you how to follow. Now watch this. It was interesting to me because when God got ready, he said, I'm going to lead you by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Now, when I looked at that, you know, it was strange to me because when I leave out of town driving, the one thing I want is pretty weather. I want the sun to be shining and the sky to be clear because I want to travel on a clear day. But God says that when I take you in the day, I'm going to lead you by a cloud. By then, you got to understand what this cloud is, because what the cloud was over there in that place was a whirlwind of dust, a whirlwind of things. And it's strange to me that God said, I want you to follow, but when you follow me, you're going to be following a whirlwind. You know, it's strange to me. And in my walk with God, I found that so many times when I thought he'd lead me in peace, when I thought he'd lead me in tranquility, when I thought he'd lead me in calm times, it seemed like all that was before me was confusion. And he moved me from Los Angeles to Jackson, and I didn't know why. Yes, I came, but it seemed like confusion. That fateful day of May 4th came, and that night when I went down to Highland and Auditorium and saw the church had fallen, I didn't understand. Here I am, a new pastor at a new church, and now the church I'm pastoring is gone. It seemed like everywhere was confusion. God said, I've got to show you something. You see, in daytime, you don't have to have clear weather. But when I'm getting ready to lead you, I've got to get some stuff out of the way. Watch me, if you will. They were in the barren land. They didn't have a highway. They didn't have pavement. They didn't have a direction. They didn't have anything there. And God had to make a highway in desert places. And the only way he could do it was create a whirlwind. He had to create enough whirlwind to get some rocks out the way. He had to get some stuff out of the way. He had to move some things around so they could get to where they want to go. Let me tell you, don't get afraid when you're following God and it seems like it's a whirlwind. There's some stuff he's trying to get out of your life. There's some things he's trying to move out the way because he knows if left to you, you wouldn't move it. So God has to put sometime what appears to us as confusing situation in front of us so he can move some stuff out of the way. There's some things that would ensnare me if he didn't move it out of the way. There's some obstacles I couldn't get over if he didn't move it out of the way. Oh, I've got daylight to see where I'm going, but I need a whirlwind to get this stuff out of the way. And sometime when you're following God, it seems like it's a whirlwind in your life. He's taking folks out of your life, and he's taking stuff out of your life, and he's putting new stuff in your life. He's moving what you used to like and giving you new things to like. He's changing your personality. He's moving you to new levels, and he does it sometimes as a whirlwind. But God says, keep on following. Because when you come to dark situations, when you get to the point that you can't see your way, when you begin to deal with stuff and you don't know how to get there, he'll change from a whirlwind and become a pillar of fire. Don't worry about it. When stuff gets dark, his light will be there. When things get hard, his light will be there. When you don't know where to go, follow the light. and day he moves by whirlwinds. At night he moves by light. And I've got to learn how to follow him. Because if I learn how to follow him, you all know how the story goes. They got to the Red Sea. They had the mountains on one side and Pharaoh pursuing them. They were at a dead end, but look at God. God got ready. Because let me tell you something. Whenever God allows you to get caught in something that you know that you're right, you know you're following him, and it seems to be a dead end, it's not a setback, it's a setup. God brought them there because he said, I want you to demonstrate to you the ultimate aspect of my power. I've got to show you what I can do. So God brought them to an apparent dead end. He brought them to a point of giving up. He brought them to an end that they did not know what to do with. He said, now stand back and watch me work. Let me tell you, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When you've done all you can do, stand still and see the salvation. When you tried all you can try, stand still and see the salvation. Of the Lord. When you cried all you can cry and struggle all you can struggle, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Because the truth I came to tell you today, if you follow God, you're going the right way and he will deliver. He'll part your Red Seas if you follow him. He'll drown your demons and overtake your enemies if you follow him. For the very thing that seemed to be their barrier became their deliverance. It was God showing you that no matter how dark it gets, I'm still there. No matter how rough it becomes, I'm still there. No matter how bad you feel, I'm still there. Because the one thing about God is he will deliver. And not only will he destroy your demons, not only will he overtake your enemies, but after he has destroyed and overtaken them, he will wash them out of your life. Oh, I'm closing now. But see, we need to understand, sometimes we get out of stuff, but God got to get the stuff out of us. When you came to God, he got you out of the stuff, but he still got to work the stuff out of you. He got you out of the dilemma. He got you out of your downward trend. He got you out of your dastardly, destructive behavior and ways, but he still got some stuff. It tells me that after he had destroyed them, that the next morning he washed their chariots and their bodies on the shore to show not only will I destroy, but I'll wash you out of your life. There's some things of your past you've been trying to conquer. God has changed your spirit, but trust him. He'll get it all the way out of your life. If you wait on the Lord, they that wait on the Lord. Sometimes you've got to learn how to wait on him. I remember when I was a sophomore in school, and I'd gotten to the end of my first semester. And you know how it is. When I first got there, I was excited about being a freshman. It was being away from home. I had my own place. I had new friends. I was a college man. And all that excitement, I could go where I wanted to go and do what I wanted to do. And that was nice for a semester or two. But finally, sophomore year and sophomore slump set in. I remember the beginning of the second semester when I was at my lowest. I'd come too far to leave, but I had too far to go to stay in there. And I felt down and out, and I was ready to give it all up. I had my excitement, and now the rigors of work was setting in. I learned the campus and knew all the folks, and now the business of getting out of school had come to hand. And I remember calling my father and saying to my father, I'm ready to give it up. I'm ready to come home. I was thousands of miles away, and my father said, I tell you, Darryl, what I want you to do. Get a book that you like, a book that you cherish, a book you'll cling to. And I want you on the title page of that book to write this date. And I want you to pray about it. And I'll talk with you later. I followed my father's instruction. I wrote down that day and I began to pray, and somehow God began to deliver. He gave me strength. I didn't know I had strength beyond my strength and faith beyond my faith. He led me into new understandings of things. And as things went, I wound up finishing a whole semester early. And I remember when I got to my father, and I was there ready to show him my degree and to show him all I'd attained. He said, okay, now, Dad, all that's wonderful, but do you remember that book? I said, what book, Dad? You remember that book I told you to write down a date in the book? You have that book? I said, yes. He said, go get the book. I went and got the book and turned to the date and said, I followed your instructions. And I wrote it down, and yes, I'm happy. He said, I had you write that down for a purpose, because I wanted you to see that as dark as that day was, as defeated as you felt, as much as you wanted to give up, that this too shall pass. I know it's rough, but write down the date. I know that courses get hard and you feel like giving up, but write down the date. I know you get homesick and things get frustrating and you wonder, will I ever make it through? But my point to you today is to write down the date and call on the Lord, and the Lord will deliver, because this too shall pass. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with eagle's wings. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. If you're following God, you're headed the right way. And the God we serve will deliver. Won't you stand with me on the word of God? Let us bow together. Father, we come this day standing on your word. We've been going through some things. We've gotten tired. We've lost some of our motivation. We've lost some of our enthusiasm. We've dealt with some difficult days. We've run into hard coursework. We've dealt with obstacles and hindrances. And Lord, we're just tired. But Lord, we thank you for letting us know that what you prepared for us, what you've promised, is being held till we get there. That though we travel the long way round, though we go through difficult situations, though we deal with adversity and come into dead ends, the one thing we know today is that the God we serve will deliver. Take your word and write it in our hearts. Allow your spirit to invigorate our spirits. And we promise we'll stand on faith, trust in your word, and know that you will make a way somehow. Because Lord, we know that the God we serve will deliver. Bless us through this day and bless us through our destinations. And finally tonight, when we come to lay down, allow us to rest in peace, rest our minds and renew our bodies, and allow us tomorrow, if it be thy will, to rise again to the glory of another Lord's day and to meet the potential of our purpose, that we may give you glory. This is our endless prayer. In the name of him who was, who is, and evermore shall be, in the matchless name of Jesus, that every child of God say, amen. God bless you.